Right, we're going to hear from God's word in Scripture now. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all.
Father, we thank you for your words. Lord, help us as we seek to grapple with it this morning. Lord, speak into our souls, speak into our hearts, we pray. Amen. Right, for those of you who aren't normally here, we're working through a series of Bible texts at the moment. And this series was sort of inspired by a conversation I had with someone in the church last year when we were talking about one or two things, and I quoted to them a text from the Bible that I thought might help. And this person replied to me and said, James, yeah, but the problem is that that text makes me feel worse rather than better. So I sort of shared this idea with the leadership. And the idea seemed to be coming out that there were some texts that actually sometimes seem to add to the burden that we feel rather than removing that burden. So I asked the people in the leadership of the church to say, tell me what your texts are that seem to make life more difficult rather than easier for you. And they gave me a list, and we're going through some of them. So We started off by looking at a text that told us to be joyful, and we sort of talked about that pressure that Christians sometimes can feel to be joyful all the time. We looked at a text about being more than conquerors and thinking about the feeling that often we don't feel that way. And last week we were looking at a text that told us to cast all our anxiety upon God, and recognizing that that's not always as easy as it might seem. So if you want to know more about any of those texts, they're all on the website. If you haven't got the internet at home, David can do a CD for you with those talks on it. But our awkward text this morning is one that talks about us being, well, it varies in the translations, but in one version it says something like this: be completely humble and gentle. And the person who gave me this text commented that that is easier said than done when you're mad with somebody. And that's the truth. We read texts like that and we can think, yep, yeah, I can see what I meant to do here, but I actually find it quite difficult. I can remember a number of years ago, I was going to a concert with a friend, and this was with a friend who likes to arrive on time for things. So we set out, and we had allowed bags of time for our journey. The plan was that we would probably arrive an hour before the concert began. We'd sort of go and find a coffee shop or something and have a drink, and then we'd go to the concert. And everything was going fine until we were about, maybe 5 miles from our destination. We were on a dual carriageway, traffic jam, total roadblock. And we were saying, yeah, no problem here, you know, we've got bags of time. You know, we've allowed an hour. We'll be there on time. And we waited, and we waited, and nothing was moving. The more spiritual part of me at this point was beginning to hope that there wasn't too serious an accident ahead and that I ought to pray for anybody who was involved in it. But the honest part of me was beginning to think, I hope we make it on time. But no, we got bags of time. Then the time went on and on. We said, we're not going to make the start time for this concert. We're still not moving. And he said, oh, no worries. There's a support act. We don't know who it is. We don't care. We've probably got another 3/4 of an hour before the main act comes on. It was Roy Wood, by the way. So we've got 3/4 an hour. And then we waited and we waited and nothing was moving. And we realized that we were not going to see the start of the main act. Now, at this point, I'm starting to get a bit worked up. I'm starting to go, come on, you do this as well, don't you? Come on. Right, we're going to make. And do you know the thing that increased my annoyance the most was that the person who was sitting beside me driving the car was cool as a cucumber, not at all annoyed by anything, just whiling the time away. And I said to him, don't you care that we paid money for this concert? We've allowed so much time, it looks as if we're going to miss it. And he turns to me and he says, James, there is nothing that you can do that's going to make any difference. So there's no point in getting annoyed. Isn't it even more annoying when people say things like that to you? Isn't that just so annoying? The end of the story was that we did eventually move and that they did actually postpone the start time of the concert because, of course, lots of people who were going were late. So we did miss a little bit of it, but not very much. But you know, the Bible tells us to be patient. And, of course, Christians often learn over the years that there are many prayers that it's a good idea to pray to the Lord. But the one prayer that is really dangerous is the prayer, Lord, I want to become more patient. Anybody ever tried praying that prayer? Yeah, there's a few of us going, yeah. And what happens? You get something that really tries your patience. Not for nothing do the older translations of the Bible translate this word as long suffering or perhaps long temper. It's about an ability to put up with things for a long time. But when we see texts that face things like be completely humble, be completely gentle, the danger is that we look at that text and we think, yeah, I'm somebody who gets mad, I'm somebody who gets angry. This isn't really for me. This is for super saints. And yet when I look at the people in the world who are my real heroes, all of them are people who have had to be incredibly patient. You know, you think of somebody like Martin Luther King leading the marches against racism, going in peacefully, often being beaten up, often the victim of violence. And he writes in one of his books about how tiring it is just having to go and face that again and again when you don't see any results for what you're doing. I think of Nelson Mandela in that prison cell in South Africa, somehow managing to hold on to his vision of what could be and somehow discovering that through being incredibly patient that actually his heart gets changed and that actually when he does get his opportunity, and he was never sure it was going to come, but when he does get his opportunity, he's ready. And ready to behave in the right sort of way. But here's something about this verse. It's not about you individually. It's about us. This is not a verse for super saints who somehow managed to be incredibly holy and incredibly gentle and patient. This is a line written by somebody who is writing to churches, and he's saying to them, this is the sort of church that I want you to be. I want you to be a church of people who know how to have a long temper. I want you to know how to be a church where patience is one of your hallmarks. So not about two or three outstanding people who do it brilliantly, but a whole church of everybody who is working at it. And the verse goes on to talk about bearing with one another, or to put it, I think, in a slightly better translation, putting up with one another. One of the great things about how a church is meant to be is that we learn to put up with one another. Now, that is a challenge. There will be times when you will find it hard to put up with me. There will be times when I find it hard to put up with you. There are times when we have a vision of what we believe God wants to happen around here, and we get frustrated because we think it's not happening quick enough. On the other hand, there are times when we get tempted to give up and give up on all the sort of great ideas that we have. And instead of patience, we slip into not caring. And not caring is certainly not what patience is about. I came across a wonderful phrase when I was reading a book recently. And it talked about Christians knowing gritty hope or gritty faith, but also knowing the gritty reality. We must not attempt to hide from how things really are. We mustn't attempt to hide from how the world is. One day last week, a whole load of school children went on strike. I'm not going to say whether I think that was a good idea or a bad idea. But what I saw in some of them who were speaking was both this sense of things can be different, we can do it differently, but also an honest sense of we have to face the reality. There was one of the young people who spoke said, you know, the politicians won't tell us the truth. They're leaving it to us children to tell the truth about these things. And that's hard because they're rightly saying we need to do something now. We haven't got the time to do nothing here. The world is in a bad state. Things are getting desperate. Here's a confession. Some of you are like this. You know, I was listening to some Cliff Richard on Spotify this week. Okay, who wants to applaud and who wants to give me ministry? Desperate now. James, you've lost all credibility now. But you might remember a minor hit, those of you who are really old here. I think it was about 1969, 1970, that Cliff had called Silvery Rain. Any of your diehard Cliff? Oh, Jeremy remembers it. Oh, no, this is getting really embarrassing. Go on, the month and the date of release. Nah, it's way earlier than that. Way earlier than that. Are we thinking of the same song? Yeah. Nah, it's definitely on a Cliff Richard 1970s album. Anyway, we will not argue too much about Cliff, or my patience and Jeremy's might be tried. But yes, it's a song about an aeroplane going over the crop fields and spraying the crops to kill off all the, what you call them, the pests that eat the crop. But the pesticides. But realizing that the pesticides aren't just killing the pests, but they're killing off all sorts of other things as well. And in one of these weird things that might be a coincidence or might not be, I was listening to the words of this song just after we heard the report, you know, about how the insect population in the world is dropping, and realized, well, nobody listened to the warnings 40, 50 years ago. Are we going to listen now? And there's this sense of urgency. There's a sense of we've got to do something. The gritty reality says that this needs to be faced. And if we've got passions, if we've got things that we believe God wants us to achieve, it is right that we feel frustration. It is right that we feel, in one sense of the word, impatient. And these children this week giving up this model of saying to us, we can't just hang back and do nothing about this. Something has to change. And yet, for a moment we feel that, we realize as well that real change only happens when we're in it for the long haul. Of course, it happens in family as well. We get frustrated at what happens in our families. We wish it was different. We have to face the gritty reality. But God comes to us and says, yeah, okay, yes, there is a gritty reality here. It needs to be faced, and perhaps action has to be taken. But let's approach it too with a gritty faith. Now, this verse comes just after in Ephesians. This verse about being completely humble and gentle comes just after Paul has prayed for these people that they will really know the love of Christ. An awful lot in the Christian life comes down to us really knowing the love of Christ. And he finishes off this prayer with these fantastic words. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I wonder what comes into your mind when you read these words about God doing immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. But let me tell you the one that Paul immediately goes on to say. He says to them, be completely humble and gentle. If God is all-powerful, if the love of God is as amazing as the Bible says, then God can do something in us as a church to make us more humble, more gentle, more patient, and here's the thing, give us more ability to put up with each other. Not denying realities, not pretending that everything is fine when it isn't, but actually working deep within our hearts that we can know the love of Christ. So instead of coming to this text about being completely humble and being completely patient and saying, well, I can't do that, that's too much, which is really discouraging, and instead of even coming and saying, that's okay, I'm going to try really harder than this. And then we get into the silly prayers that we pray sometimes, you know, Lord, make me patient and do it now. We come and say, Lord, I want that prayer to be answered, not just in me, but in us. That we should really know the love of Jesus. Lord, I want to know it. And I want to know it in me and in us so that it makes a big difference in my life and in the life of my brothers and sisters here. In a few moments, we're going to sing together. We're going to sing together, be still. For the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. And what I'm going to ask you to do before that is we'll just have a little time of being quiet together. And ask us to offer to God the prayers that we have today. Lord, what do you want God to do for you? What do you want God to do around you? What do you want God to do in our world? And we offer them. And then we are still. And then we pray that God will work in us to bring us into the character of God. That we can be truly humble. That word humble is about recognizing the worth in others. It's about seeing the value of other people, even when we are mad at them. being gentle. The word gentle doesn't mean that we are weak. It means we are strong. But the things that are wrong in us are tamed. Being patient, the ability to put up with irritating people for the long haul. The ability to bear with each other, that we continually forgive each other. And above all, Paul talks about love. That having experienced the love of Jesus, we give it away to other people. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of a time of quiet this morning. And if it helps, ask God what you want him to change. Pray that it will change. But once you've done that, be still and see what God has to say to you today. Because if we're going to talk about learning to be patient, we have to learn to be patient on the things that we might be impatient about. So let's be still for a few moments and offer to God what we want to offer to him today. Father, we come to you now, Lord. You are the all-consuming fire. And Lord, as we are before you today, Lord, we realize that we both as individuals and as a church we do fall short of what you are looking for in terms of patience and gentleness. We easily slide into anger, and we easily too can slide into not caring. So, Father, that today we pray, Lord, that you will, with your holy fire, burn away from us the things in us that do not help us to seek your kingdom. Father, where we have an ungodly impatience, Father, we want to repent of that. And we know that we need your Spirit's help. So come, Lord. Come in your fire and burn up what should not be there. And Lord, we pray too, Lord, as fire ignites, Lord, that you would ignite in us again a passion for the things of Jesus. Father, enable us to face the gritty reality of how things are in our lives and how the world is. But Lord, fill us with that gritty faith that in the kingdom of God, things can and will be different. And Father, the prayer of Paul, that he prayed for that church all those years ago, that they would know the height, the breadth, the breadth, the length, and the depth of the love of Christ. Father, we pray for us today. Lord, may we know it deep within. And Lord, may that knowledge affect us not just now, but in our lives this week.